Almost all gone now.
Alcoholic beverages are forbidden by mission regulations.
He grinned at her. Everybody brings something in their personal belongings. The bio boys cook up some interesting pharmaceuticals in their labs, you know. I'll bet even Chang has some rice wine stashed away somewhere. VJ chewed on the underdone soy meat, then asked,
You don't like Dr. Chang much, do you?
With a shrug, Carlton replied, As long as he doesn't get in my way, he doesn't bother me.
Does he get in your way?
He tries to, now and then. It doesn't do him any good. She speared a leaf of lettuce from her salad.
He is the mission director, after all.
Carlton humphed. He's a bureaucrat, not a scientist. He'd make a perfect Mandarin bureaucrat for some Chinese emperor.
Dr. Chang's a world-class geologist.
Was. He hasn't done any geology in years, decades. VJ fell silent, digesting Carlton's assessment.
Sooner or later, I'll have to get Chang's reading on Carlton, she told herself. That should be illuminating.
Two tables away, Jamie and DiNardo were discussing the video broadcast they wanted to make from the cliff dwellings. If people could see the structures, Jamie was saying earnestly, understand that they're real, that living, thinking creatures made them while dinosaurs were living on Earth, then... His voice trailed off.
Then you think that they would give more support to our work here, DiNardo finished for him.
That's what I'm hoping. Gently, DiNardo shook his head.
I hope so, too. But I do not expect it.
You don't? Why?
Mars is not important to them.
It is that simple. Not important?
As horrible as that may seem to you, I believe it to be the truth. Most of the people on Earth simply do not care about Mars. Their concerns are much closer to home.
The greenhouse warming, said Jamie.
And even more personal problems. Crime, war. Half the people of Earth don't have enough to eat. Food is a very real worry for them.
I suppose so, Jamie admitted.
It is an old problem, DiNardo said. Galileo had trouble finding money to support his work. Leonardo da Vinci wrote job application letters to the rich and powerful.
Jamie made himself smile at the priest. Today we write grant applications.
But the problem is still serious. In democracies such as the USA, the people are the ultimate decision makers. And I am afraid that the people think Mars is a luxury that only a small elite band of scientists cares about.
But don't you find, Jamie asked, that there's a concerted effort to downplay what we're doing? An organized campaign to belittle our work, to keep it out of the public's eye?
An organized campaign against us?
By the New Morality and other fundamentalist groups. Even some ultra-conservatives in the Catholic Church. Jamie feared he had gone too far. But DiNardo looked thoughtful for a moment, then replied,
There are ultra-conservatives in the Curia, this I know. I have to deal with them.
That's why you're so important, Jamie said, some urgency returning to his voice.
You can show the people that there's no basic conflict between religion and science. Show them that we're not a bunch of atheist monsters trying to destroy their religious faith.
DiNardo glanced down at his half-finished meal before replying,
I am not so certain of that, I'm afraid.
Jamie blinked at him.
Mars is testing my faith, said DiNardo, looking suddenly bleak. Testing it severely.
Slowly, patiently, VJ swung their conversation to Carlton's relationship with Doreen McManus.
I'm overwhelmed with what a rumor mill this place is, she said as they worked on their desserts.
A fruit cup for her, a lemon tart for him. Carlton said, It's like a university campus, only worse. We're smaller. As you said, we're all living in each other's pockets.
All pants,
she said, grinning to show she meant it to be humorous.
There is that, Carlton agreed, smiling back at her.
It's a pressure cooker in here, all right.
Carlton nodded.
VJ plunged. Doreen McManus went back to Cellini, didn't she?
Carlton's face went taut for an instant, but he quickly regained his composure.
Good for her.
The word is that you two were a couple.
She's just a kid. She got too emotional to stay here.
Too bad.
VJ waited for Carlton to say more, but he concentrated on mopping up his lemon tart.
She decided to push a bit.
Do you miss her?
Carlton looked up and made a crooked little smile. It was fun while it lasted. At least she didn't accuse me of rape.
Vijay asked, Can I ask you?
No, he snapped. I've talked enough about that. It's over and done with.
I suppose so, she said weakly.
A moment ago you called this place a pressure cooker, Carlton said almost accusingly. But it's worse than that. It's Coventry.
Coventry?
A place of exile. A place where they send troublemakers to get rid of them. She blinked with surprise.
That's how you think of Mars?
That's what this is. You, me, all of us here, we're exiles, outcasts. We don't belong here. We can't survive here without this dome. We can't even breathe the air outside or walk out in the open without spacesuits. We're aliens. Exiles.
Most of the people here work their bums off to get here,
Vijay protested. And now that they're here, Carlton retorted darkly, they all wish they were home.
No.
Yes. They may not admit it, but there isn't anyone here who wouldn't prefer to be back on Earth.
You too.
He folded his hands in front of his face, half hiding his expression. At last he admitted, Me too. But I can't go back. I'm really exiled. Vijay thought it over swiftly.
I can think of one person who prefers it here.
Your husband?
Yes. Jamie wants to be on Mars. He's at home here.
He's a madman, then, said Carlton. Vijay started an angry reply, thought better of it, and said nothing. Carlton returned his attention to the remains of his dessert. A tense silence stretched between them. She could see him struggling to regain control of himself.
He's let his mask slip, Vijay thought, and now he wants to get it back in place.
At length, Carlton's smile returned. He pushed his chair back and got to his feet. I still have some single malt back in my room. Care to have an after-dinner drink with me?
Vijay automatically glanced at Jamie, sitting with his back to her. I'm not sure that...
Something exploded out in the night. The dome shook. Glasses and dishware rattled. Vijay's tea sloshed in its cup. People jumped to their feet, staring, looking around. Someone knocked his chair over with a crash. What the hell was that? Suddenly, everyone realized they were on Mars, millions of kilometers from help, with the thin, cold air outside keening like an alien beast.
Exiles, Vijay thought. He's right. We've exiled ourselves.
Tithonie Fossey, Hammer Blow. Half the people in the cafeteria were on their feet. Everyone was staring, wide-eyed, fearful. Chang bolted out of his office and looked up at the dome's structural support beams lost in shadow. Something exploded. I didn't see a flash. Nothing's on fire. Are you sure? Jamie headed for the monitoring center. Check the life support consoles first, he told himself. He noted that the dome didn't seem to be punctured. There was no rush of air, not even the high-pitched whistling of a pinhole leak. My ears haven't popped, he said to himself. Air pressure's holding okay. The monitoring center was the largest cubicle in the dome, packed with consoles that kept constant real-time watch over all the sensors and observation equipment on the ground and in orbit high above. Four people were sitting in the middle of all the screens, earphones clamped to their heads, eyes focused on their displays. Before Jamie could ask, their chief, standing near the cubicle's entrance, said, Got a satellite image of a big flash up on Tithonie Fossey, about 110 clicks from here.
Up on a plane? Jamie asked.
Right. Chang pushed past Jamie. Life support systems? He asked sharply. All on the green, said the chief technician calmly. No problems. Chang gusted out a pent-up breath. Might be a meteor strike, Jamie said. A fairly big one. Goddamn seismograph gave a big lurch, the chief technician said, pointing to one of the screens.
Let me see, said Chang.
The nearly flat line of the seismograph record spiked sharply, Jamie saw. An impact. The technician monitoring the satellite sensors powered up a blank screen. Standing to Chang's side, Jamie saw a false-color infrared view of the plane spreading northward from the rim of the valley, Tithonie Fossey. Several others were crowding up at the cubicle's entrance.